Our scripture reading this evening comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be reading starting at verse 1 all the way through verse 5. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. A little bit of a tongue twister there. Elect exiles. I had to get it out. So as Reformed Christians, we know what we believe, don't we? That's what we pride ourselves on. We know the truth. We know that we're in Christ. We know our position as co-heirs. We know where we stand in the kingdom of God. We know that if our faith is in Christ alone, we've been saved by grace alone. And that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Sometimes we wear that as a badge on our shoulder. And then we think about these elect exiles who've been pushed out of their homeland, who need to know these things. Sometimes we take these things that we know for granted, don't we? But the things that we know are so important. They're so important. See, Peter is writing a guide for the Christian in a place that's not their home anymore. He wants to remind us that our hope is anchored in heaven, in Jesus Christ. See, the more you read 1 Peter in the 21st century, the more you're going to think, well, wait a second, this sounds kind of like today. Right? Peter wants believers to realize that we never fully belong in this world. See, pilgrims have no permanent residence here. This is essential to the Christian identity, isn't it? Think about the original audience, these elect exiles or pilgrims. True Christians that are now living a life of dual citizenship. They still need to live. They still need to work. They need to prosper where they're at. Wherever God has them, that's the place he wants them. But now, Peter's telling them, this just isn't your home. You have another home, and it's in heaven. And that's your real home. That's where you will one day go for eternity to be with Christ. See, that's something they never would have dreamt of before they became Christians. Before they started following Christ, they had no idea about this second home. And as they make their way on this pilgrimage, they know that they're not doing it alone, but that they're elected by God. And it's our triune God that's watching over them. That they'll make their way. It's secured. It's a foregone conclusion. They are going to make their way to the promised land. The new heavens and the new earth. And one day live in the new Jerusalem. See, and Peter wants us to know those same things. See, though this is written in the first century, that's a long time ago, isn't it? See, Christians in the 21st century, we can use this letter still. See, even though this letter wasn't written to us, this letter was written for us. We could use it to build and cultivate a life that when the world looks at us, they see a people not with their eyes down or not with their eyes in, but they see a people with their eyes up and our eyes out. Some might say, Pastor Ogle, you're too heavenly minded to do to any earthly good. But then I'll tell them, you can't do any earthly good unless you're heavenly minded. Unless you know where you're going. Unless you know where your king is at. And your king isn't here, is he? He's sitting on a throne in heaven. And that's our calling, isn't it? To make our way to the promised land. See, we're not called to go hide. We're not called to circle the wagons. We're not called to go live in a monastery in a mountain. No. We're called to rub shoulders with the world. We're called to go out there and help a people who need it. Right? People who need to hear the good news. A people who long for the gospel, though they don't know it. See, in this present evil age, which we live in today, there's nothing more important than to bring the gospel to a dying world. You know, beloved, I think as Christians, we need to take a page from our neighbors. Our neighbors have a motto. And that motto is, see something, say something. We've all heard that motto before. See something, say something. See, I get asked all the time about what should I do? How should I live? Well, first off, remember the words of Jesus, right? Don't hide your light under a basket. Let that light shine. So you have the best news that anybody could hear. When you see something, say something. When you see people hurting, say something. When you see people confused, say something. When you see people without hope, say something. Tell them of the hope that you have. The joy that you know about being a believer in Christ. See, and this is where Peter leads us this evening, isn't it? He's reminding us of a hope that I hope you have. It's something that we can rejoice in. So we'll have 3 points this evening. The first is, God's mercy leads to a living hope. The second point is, God's mercy leads to a heavenly inheritance. And our last point is, God's mercy leads to our salvation. So God's mercy leads to a living hope. God's mercy leads to a heavenly inheritance. And our last point is God's mercy leads to our salvation. Because, beloved, as the world continues to walk down that broad road, we are tasked with showing them the exits. We are tasked to be a people to show them and tell them about a living hope, a hope that saves, the only hope that saves. We need to be telling them about this inheritance we have in heaven that will never be corrupted, that will never be defiled, that's never going to fade away. Peter, after greeting these elect exiles, he starts off with doxology. A doxology is just a song or a praise, a shout from the depths of our being. A doxology just comes from within about how much you love God and what he's done for us in Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John and now the Apostle Peter, they all do this in their letters. They're all writing about who God is and who Christ is, and then they just stop and then they just shout praise to that God. Right? Peter doesn't even wait until he gets into the letter. He starts off right away. Right away, he starts off with doxology. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice in the ESV, there's an exclamation point right there. It's from the depth of him. Blessed be God. Starts off with doxology. You know, in the first century, when these letter writers would write, they were written to be read aloud. In the most ancient world, that's how letters would be read. Most people couldn't read. So someone would have to read these things to the people. It's funny, when I was studying all these things in seminary, we were reading a book, and it said that the richest people would pay professional readers to come to their party and read for their guests. Like, I would love that job. Pay me to be a professional reader. So they'd pay these readers to read, and when they would read, they would see the letter, and it would be written with key things right in the front. So you would read it, and you would know what would be important. It'd be the first thing that they would say. And Scripture is the same way. All these New Testament letters, they're written the same way. They're written to be read. They're written with these important words up front. And that's exactly what Peter does. Blessed be our God and Father. Right? It's like, kaboom! That's the first thing his people hear, is doxology. About that. The first thing I hear, somebody runs in, hey, we have this letter from Peter. Like, oh, the Apostle Peter sent us a letter. And they open it up. It's probably a scroll. And they undo it. And he talks to them. And they're reading it. It's to us, elect exiles. Look, that's for us. That's where we live. And then, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, doxology. And they're just like eating it up. Think about that. Do we live a life of doxology? Do we get excited when we hear about what God's doing in our lives? Or when somebody tells us about what God's doing in their lives, and you see all the blessings happening, do you just stop and shout, praise be to God? Because these elect exiles needed to hear that. And I believe you do too. As this world slowly starts to spin off the rails, you're going to want to hear doxology every once in a while. Because Peter knows something. He knows that these people are suffering. He knows that they're going through trials. He knows what's happening in the world. And he just wants them to know, blessed be our Lord. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about the mercy in that. His abundant mercy. has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Not a dead hope. No, that's the world's hope. The world's hope's a dead hope. We have a living hope. See, that's one thing that the world lacks is a hope. There's so much hopelessness in the world today. It's sad to look out into the world and see the hopelessness. To see how high the teen suicide rates are in the United States of America, where we have everything. There's no hope. Especially among young girls. And how does the world try to fight this? How does the world try to give them hope? The world tells them, just let them do or think what they want. Let them love who they want. That'll fix all their problems. That's not going to fix anything, is it? The only thing that gives us hope is our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone in this church this evening feels like they need hope, find an elder, find a deacon. They have the words of hope. Like they'll help you find the arms of Jesus. That's where hope comes from. Hope comes from Him, the one who says, come to me and I will give you rest. There's no rest in the world. See, beloved, the Christian hope is a living hope, a hope that changes lives, a hope that's never going to let you down. See, the world, you put your hope in the world, guess what happens? You fall on your face. It lets you down every time. Not this hope. Not this living hope. See, we don't hope in things that we do. We don't hope in ourselves. But we hope in the one that was once dead and now alive. We hope in the one that never changes. The one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's where our hope's at. And we could see that we have this hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why Peter can start off with doxology. Even though they go through trials, even though they're suffering, even though there's things in their life they wish wouldn't happen, the ups and downs of living in a fallen world. Do you have a living hope? It's because of the resurrection that we have hope. It's because of the resurrection we're made co-heirs with Christ, and one day we're going to rule with Him. See, God's mercy leads to that living hope, but it doesn't stop there. How awesome is that? It doesn't stop there. It leads to our second point, a heavenly inheritance. Let's pick up at verse 4. To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter here, he knows that these elect exiles have lost mostly everything they've had. Anything that they put for the future is probably gone. So he reminds them, don't think about that inheritance. Think about the one your heavenly Father has for you. See, in the Old Testament, the saints, they were promised land and a kingdom and peace on all sides. And that all pointed to Jesus Christ, didn't it? Look at the adjectives that Peter uses. They're the opposite of what the world could expect. See, everything we have in this life dies, doesn't it? Everything we have in this life, it gets defiled by sin. It starts to fade. See, that's what sin does to things this side of glory. That's what Jesus teaches his disciples in Luke. Listen to this, Luke chapter 12. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. See, beloved, our inheritance isn't on this side of glory. Our inheritance isn't going to grow old. It isn't going to decay. It isn't going to need to be polished like old silver. You ever seen old silver, how it just starts to turn color, starts to get black? You know, when I was growing up, my grandma, she had this old silver silverware and an old silver water pot. And when I was growing up, I just thought it was supposed to be that color. It was just black. And I thought, oh, you know, and it was in the china cabinet. We never touched it. But then for their anniversary, my grandma and grandpa's anniversary, my aunts came over and they cleaned up everything and they took this old silverware and water pot and they shined it up. I had no idea it was that. Shined. See, our inheritance is never going to turn black. It's always going to stay shiny. It's never going to need polishing. See, it's reserved for us in heaven where sin can't touch it. It's not going to be corrupt or defiled. It's always going to shine. Think about it. The shine and awe of this heavenly inheritance is yours if you're in Christ. It's not like Social Security that you hope it's going to be there when you retire. It'll always be there for you. That's what Peter says. It will never be taken away. It's kept for you in heaven. And who keeps it? God does. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, this is too good. And usually when things are too good, they don't come true. But Peter takes us to our last point this evening and says, God's mercy leads to our salvation. Verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, beloved, if anybody needed to hear that, it was Peter. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed? Peter needed to hear that in his life, didn't he? That inheritance is secure and kept. Peter needed to know that. Remember what Peter did? We all do. We've all heard that story a million times. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, I want to read it for you. I want us to feel someone who needed to know that his salvation was secure. This is from the Gospel of Matthew. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. We know the story. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now that should have been enough for Peter. He should have been like, okay, Lord, you're right. You know. But we know Peter. It's never enough. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Oh, Peter. That hurts me just reading it. Let's jump down a little further down the text. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl. And when you hear the word girl here, the word in the Greek is little girl. This is a little girl running up to this big grown fisherman. And she said to him, to those who were there, this fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. The gig's up, Peter. They know, just admit it. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And you would think it couldn't get any worse. But the gospel writer, Luke, adds one more sentence. He adds this, and the Lord looked and turned at Peter. And then Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. See, if anybody needed to hear that his salvation was secure, it had to be Peter. It had to be him. I don't think anybody in this room has ever denied their Lord like Peter has. Think about the hours after this, and he's just curled up in a ball weeping, thinking, it's over, I ruined it. I have nothing left. Because you see, if it were up to us, we would never go back. There's no coming back. If it were up to us, we would walk away for good. Forsaking everything. But it's not up to us, is it? That's the best thing you could ever hear. It's not up to us. Reading verse 5 again, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's only by God's power. Every promise that God has ever given you is secure. Not because of us, not because we're holding on for dear life, no, because God has kept it for us in heaven, secured, unbreakable. Nobody could come steal it. It's God's power that protects you from falling away completely. You know, it's sad when we see loved ones fall away from the faith. But if they're truly in the faith, they will come back. God promises it. He promises it. And that's what Peter is telling these elect exiles this evening. These ones who've left everything for Jesus. Who aren't even in their original home anymore for Jesus. And the best thing is, this is for us as well. This just isn't for these people in the first century. It's for you and me today in the 21st century. These truths are for us because our God is still the same. The gospel is still the same. And the question is how often do you shout out doxology when you realize it's still the same? When you realize the truth is ours in Christ. Do you have a life of doxology? I hope you do. Because that's what Peter told us this evening, is God's mercy leads to a living hope. It leads to a heavenly inheritance. And ultimately, it leads to our salvation. These promises are yours, beloved. They're yours. And if you hold on to that, When you leave this place this evening, remember, if you see something, say something. If you see those hurting, let them know what you have. If you see those without hope, tell them about the hope that you have. Because they desperately need it, as we desperately needed it. That's our calling. That's what Peter tells us this evening. I hope you've been blessed. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you.